Welcome back to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox here at CindySheehanSoapbox.com. Right now, I'm speaking to you from Eureka Springs, Arkansas, which is my fourth stop on my Miss America book tour. And the message of the book, which is creating community to overcome the oppressions of the robber class and surviving and thriving through the upcoming robber class depression, has been enthusiastically received everywhere I've gone, and the hospitality everywhere has been so warm. This is Cindy Sheehan. You're listening to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox. We'll be right back after the break. Stay tuned.
Hi, my name is Pam. I live in the Tenderloin District of San Francisco, and I have been a supporter of Cindy's since she announced she was going to run for Congress against Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi. I worked tirelessly on her campaign because I believe in Cindy, and I believe in the cause of peace and justice that she stands for. If you're listening to this show, then more than likely you support Cindy too. Please consider making a donation to keep Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox airing on the web. It is important for me to be able to continue to hear the truth. In a world where truth and courage are in such short supply, Cindy fills that void. Please go to www.CindySheehanSoapbox.com and click on the donate link. That's www.CindySheehanSoapbox.com.
This is Cindy Sheehan for Cindy Sheehan Soapbox. Today we're in Eureka Springs, Arkansas. People say, why are you going to Arkansas? And first of all, I don't think we should stay on the West Coast and East Coast. People in the middle of the country need to hear our message. But Eureka Springs is actually a very progressive community here in Northwest Arkansas in the Ozarks. Today, right now, we're going to talk to Bill King. He's a friend of mine, and he's the owner of Sweet Springs Antique Mall here in Eureka Springs. Also a political activist, has been to Camp Casey in Crawford, Texas, and just has been working for peace and social justice for a long time. Today, we're out asking people in Eureka Springs if they voted for president, who they voted for, if they feel comfortable in sharing that. And it's coming up on the 100th day of Obama's administration. So everybody said, give him a chance. And I guess the 100 days was a dividing line. And after that, we can start to maybe question his policies, although I've been doing it all along. So, Bill, thank you for talking to us at Cindy Sheehan Soapbox today.
You're welcome.
Do I have to go like that, or can you hear? Okay. So you voted for president. I know you did.
Yes, I did.
And are you comfortable with sharing with my audience who you voted for?
Sure. I voted for Obama.
Okay, so why did you vote for Obama?
Because I have become pragmatic over the years and have stopped voting after 2000, where I endorsed Nader and actually endorsed him publicly as the publisher and editor of the local newspaper. I decided I needed to go back to voting for the lesser of the evils, I guess.
So, of course, the lesser of two evilism voting just basically proves my point that, you know, whoever you're voting for is basically evil, just a little less evil than the other one. But how, after almost 100 days, how do you think Obama's doing?
I could give him mixed reviews, I guess, at this point. I think he said some of the right things. He's done a few things that actually are very positive. I don't like the way he is continuing the warring policies that have been going on forever. I'm not sure we need to be bailing out the banks. I think universal health care, a single-payer system, would really actually solve a whole lot of the economic crisis. If we would do that, it would save the auto industry. It would just do a whole lot. So I just think the priorities are wrong, I guess, as far as the bank bailouts and whatnot.
Well, I think two things. If we brought our troops home from Iraq and Afghanistan and instituted single payer, I pointed out the other night, we wouldn't have to have the VA system. We wouldn't have to have Medi-Cal. We wouldn't have to have Medicare. We call it Medi-Cal in California, or Medicaid. So I have a follow-up question. This week, we found out that Obama met with the Democratic leadership to try and really find ways to prevent George Bush and his administration from being held accountable for torture. To me, that makes them complicit in the policies. And to me, torture is against our law, against international law. And to protect torturers, I think, is traitorous. What's your position on that?
I'm hoping that Obama is saying one thing but allowing the process to actually happen, maybe without his complete blessing, but maybe behind the scenes encouraging Congress or his Justice Department to actually proceed and do something. But I think because of the way politics are, I think he's trying to not alienate the whole right. But I would be hoping that he's actually secretly rooting that it happens and pushing behind the scenes.
Well, I think they did have a meeting behind the scenes, and it was to prevent prosecution from happening. And the people who say give him a chance, give him time. If he has time to prevent, he also has time to allow things to go forward. But, of course, we know the Democratic leadership was complicit in the torture. Nancy Pelosi knew about it in 2002, and Jane Harman and Jay Rockefeller. So I think that, my opinion is that they are going to try to prevent anything from going forward. So, Bill, it was great to talk to you. Thanks for taking time to be here on Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox.
Absolutely.
Thank you. So this is Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. We're still in Eureka Springs, Arkansas. Can you give my listeners, viewers, your name?
Karen Lindblad.
Do you own this store here?
Yes, I do.
And do you want to tell us the name?
It's Gazebo Books, and we've had it for almost 33 years.
Well, okay, right on. What we're doing today is we are going around the town, and it's been almost 100 days since Barack Obama was inaugurated. And so we're asking people if they want to tell us if they voted for president and who they voted for. Would you like to share that information?
Yes, I voted for Barack Obama.
So what do you think after 100 days? What's your initial 100-day feeling?
My initial 100-day feeling is that actually he's doing pretty good considering. You know, as you said...
Considering what?
Well, considering, as you said in your speech the other night, I mean, he is a Democrat. And I've had people say to me, well, you know, I'm especially younger people, well, you know, he's doing this or doing that. He appointed Hillary Clinton, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, I just keep saying to them, look, we had an election. We didn't have a revolution. We didn't have a revolution. And there are some things that I feel better about, some of the openness. I feel better about, like, the non-torture things. There are things I feel better about. But, you know, let's face it, it's really not that much different a structure. And until people in this country decide that they want to have more parties, this is what we're going to have.
Well, you know, when we had an election, not a revolution, is super important. That's a very good point, because you only get to really pick from two corporate candidates.
Absolutely.
You don't get to pick from anybody who really, well, you can, but you're going to vote for somebody who, and your vote's going to basically be thrown away. Like, I voted for Cynthia McKinney, but at least nobody I voted for was going to win, that's for sure. So what do you think that we should do as activists, as people who want peace, who want our troops to come home from the Middle East? Do you think we should give a Barack Obama a chance? Do you think we should rally? Do you think we should support petitions? Or what do you think we can do to force him to change directions?
Well, I think all of the things you just mentioned, but I think most of it is, and that's why I was asking you all those questions the other night, is people in this country have to stand up and start asking for what they want. And it astonishes me how little they want. You know, and having lived in Europe, they get a lot more than we do here. But, you know, I would say to people, yes, do rally, do petition. Do keep throwing it in there, you know, just keep asking for what you want. If you want more than that, then you have to just keep asking for it. And we have to be activists, and we should be demonstrating. I mean, after the first Bush election, it was astounding. There were people out on the streets, but did you hear about it anywhere? No.
Okay, yeah, so excellent. Okay, thank you so much. It was nice to run. Nice to run into you again. Okay, this is Cindy Sheehan, Cindy Sheehan Soapbox, still in Eureka Springs, and right now we're talking to
Bob Howell of Eureka Springs.
Bob Howell of Eureka Springs. Bob, we're out here, and the motorcycles are really loud, but today we're asking people if they voted for president, and if so, who did they vote for? Would you feel comfortable answering that question?
I'd be glad to. I voted for Obama.
And after 100 days, how do you think he's doing?
Probably needs another 100 days. He's not getting the troops out of Iraq quite as fast as I hoped he would, and we're making a heavier commitment to troops in Afghanistan that I am disappointed in.
I have a question that has really been bothering me. So this week we learned that the Barack Obama and the Democrats leadership, Democratic leadership, which consists of my opponent, Nancy Pelosi, when I ran for Congress in San Francisco, and Harry Reid on the Senate side, they got together to figure out ways how to prevent investigations about torture from the Bush regime. How does that make you feel? What's your initial reaction to that?
I think if we can't investigate the Bush regime, the matter should be turned over to the World Court in The Hague, and Bush should be prosecuted for war crimes.
That only works if we can get them to The Hague. I know they can indict them and they can convict them in absentia, but there's no accountability if we can't get them there, right?
I suppose that's right. You're more up on this than I am.
So, and then there is a movement in the Spanish courts. The same judge who convicted Pinochet is investigating these war crimes and crimes against humanity. Well, Bob, thank you for taking the time to talk to us. Can we use this in our Cindy Sheehan Soapbox show?
I would be honored. Thank you, Cindy.
We're here on the streets in Eureka Springs still, and we're talking to, can you tell us your name and where you're from?
Richard Bill out of Tulsa, Oklahoma.
I just flew in there. My dad was born in Sand Springs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so not too far. So, Richard, did you say your name was Richard? I have a very long memory. Who did you vote for president? And if so, who did you vote for?
I did vote for president, and I voted for Bush.
And you voted for Bush?
I'm sorry.
In 2008?
I'm sorry.
He wasn't running.
For McCain, I'm sorry.
Okay, so, but are you a Republican, a registered Republican?
I am.
Okay, great. You're the first one we've come across so far.
Okay.
So, Barack Obama has been in office for almost 100 days. Obviously, you didn't vote for him, so you didn't support his candidacy or support him becoming president. How do you think he's doing in the first 100 days?
I think he's trying, but you're asking me how I don't trust him. Just right. Don't trust him.
And why is that?
For religious reasons, I don't pretty much trust him.
So do you think that he is not religious enough or too religious?
I just don't think that he's not religious enough. He's for abortion and some other things like that that I personally know of. So I just don't personally trust him.
Okay, what if he had to make it, like, for example, he's not withdrawing troops from Iraq. He's sending more troops to Afghanistan. He's continuing the policy of, you know, he's not calling it the war on terror, but he's continuing Bush's policies. Do you trust him to make those kind of decisions that commanders in chief make? Do you trust him as a commander in chief?
In my personal opinion, he's not really a leader. The Congress leads the House. Okay, so on the advisory committees, he's, you know, he can say yes or no, but we all know that the House personally rules pretty much what goes on. So, you know, I think he's a person that just basically says yes or no. You know, he's just a person that's in there, and supposedly all of our senators and congressmen of the House you know, rules what's going on.
Okay, then that begs another question. Do you trust them?
Some of them I do and some of them I don't.
How about the House leadership and Senate leadership, Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid?
No, I don't.
And why don't you trust them?
Well, because of some situations that they were familiar with before they came into office, you know.
You mean before they ascended to the leadership positions, as such as?
Just some situations that I don't have real good clarification on, but a lot of other people do, you know. So, you know, that's, I don't particularly support the full Democratic Party, and I don't particularly support the whole Republican parties, you know, just certain individuals in there.
And I just want to ask you one final question. What would you do differently if you were president?
If I was president, I wouldn't try to bankrupt the country like I think he's trying to do by printing up money that we don't have and running up our deficit, and our children's going to be paying for it. Okay? There was an upheaval, or if that's the word, in Atlanta, Georgia, over the government trying to take over. And I think government needs to back out as far as trying to rule. We have too much government as we have now.
What upheaval in Atlanta, Georgia?
There was people talking about and not talking about that the same thing that I'm talking about now, how he's printing up money and we're basically waiting for our kids to pay for it. And that's what they're all up against right now.
And as far as the situation in the Middle East, what would you do? Would you do the same thing he's doing, or would you do something differently?
I would go in there and constantly go in there and try to negotiate, try to basically go in there and put more sanctions if we had to, find ways to try to get along. Just point blank, try to get along in sanctions.
Are you a veteran?
No, ma'am, I am not.
Hi, my name is Pam. I live in the Tenderloin District of San Francisco, and I have been a supporter of Cindy's since she announced she was going to run for Congress against Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi. I worked tirelessly on her campaign because I believe in Cindy and I believe in the cause of peace and justice that she stands for. If you are listening to this show, then more than likely you support Cindy too. Please consider making a donation to keep Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox airing on the web. It is important for me to be able to continue to hear the truth. In a world where truth and courage are in such short supply, Cindy fills that void. Please go to www.cindysheehansoapbox.com and click on the donate link. That's www.cindysheehansoapbox.com.
Okay, this is our continuing Eureka Springs chat show, Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox, and we're speaking to
Sue Enslin
and
Laura Jeffers,
both from Eureka Springs. What are you doing out with all the noise right now?
Our husbands went to a car show, and yeah, we just wanted to bond today.
That's
and
right.
Spend some quality time together. Yep.
Okay, well, are you okay? Okay, thank you for taking time to chat with us. I'm just asking some simple questions. First of all, if you feel comfortable sharing, did you vote for president, and who did you vote for?
Obama.
I voted for Obama.
Okay, now it's almost 100 days, and I'd like you to give us an assessment of what you think he's accomplished or where you think he's failed. Or your assessment of the first 100 days. So I'm going to pass the mic and I'm going to let each one of you talk.
Okay. I think that he has managed to bring different sides to the table, which was his hope and his promise. And I think that he has moved quickly to at least look at all the issues that we have facing us. He runs the country as a manager, understands that he can't do everything himself, and has the humility to allow others to give him advice and follow that advice. And American people have to understand that we can't all be happy. We can't all be happy with everything, but I believe that he will make unselfish choices.
Okay, I think he's trying, as she said, to bring people to the table. I'm very pleased that he's going around the world and getting leaders to at least talk and not calling them the axis of evil. But I am a little disappointed that we're still at war, and I'm not happy about the extra troops going in to Afghanistan. I'm pleased that he's trying to get some environmental things going for the country, which is something that's heading in the right direction. But I agree with what you said the other night. I think things have been going on in our country for a long time that maybe we weren't even aware of, and that we probably are the biggest terrorists because of some of the policies that have gone on in this country. So.
Well, thank you so much, ladies. I hope you have a nice shopping day. And
Sure.
Here we are down in the Oasis in Eureka Springs. It's a little quieter right now. I'm with my friends John and Zeke, and they're both from Eureka Springs. And I'm asking the same question of everybody today. So, did you vote for president?
Well, actually, I didn't, because I'm a Canadian citizen. So I'm not allowed to vote in this country.
If you were, who would you have voted for?
I probably would have voted for Obama.
But I know that even though you're a Canadian citizen and you didn't vote, that you have very strong political opinions. So he's almost in his first 100 days. That'll be April 30th. I don't know why they have a dividing line of 100 days. Maybe because it's a round number. But how do you think so far his job performance has been?
Well, I think he has done okay on some things and horribly on others.
Okay. Can you be more specific?
Well, I think he was given this great opportunity to really address, the marijuana laws, and dismissed it as a joke. And I think it's a very, very serious problem that lots of people in this country are facing, and lots of people want answers to. And the fact that he joked about it and really had this perfect opportunity to really discuss the issue and what's really behind it all was too bad. And, his stance on the war, we're still there. He keeps saying we're going to get out of there, and actions speak a lot louder than words. He's not doing anything about that. And, of course, that's frustrating because I've been very against this war from the very beginning. And we need to get the troops home now.
And when you were talking about the marijuana thing, he was very dismissive about it. He said, well, that's probably like the biggest question with my online, supporters. Ha, 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 ha. But we're not going to change the laws. We're not going to legalize it. We're not going to decriminalize it.
Yeah, that all these people are online, stoned out of their brains, that whole stereotype just in there again, he didn't, address the fact that how many people are imprisoned, and the cost of, just the court system and the cops on the street that are doing, it's a huge, huge, huge number, and it's really affecting the economy, and it's an economic issue, not, as well as a moral issue.
Well, we have a law in California that's being proposed by Tom Amiano that would almost clear up all of our debt. It would pay for our budget if we could legalize pot and then tax people who have prescriptions, but tax other people.
Bravo. I'm a firm believer in that. I would support it 100%.
It's not going to pass, but come over here. Get closer. Come on. So I'm going to ask you the same question. Okay. Did you vote, and who did you vote for?
I did vote. I voted for Obama. I was an Obama supporter early on.
And how do you think he's doing the first 100 days?
Mixed reviews, again. especially with the war. I feel I wanted, well, I never wanted to be there, and I wanted to be out long ago. And so I'm giving them a chance to get us out of there. As far as the bailout, I don't like giving our money away to the people that he gave it to. But I do appreciate some of the things he's done, like stem cell, opening up dialogues with leaders of other countries, I think, is possibly the most important thing that he's done to achieve peace in the world. I've been so pissed at the Bush administration last 8 years closing down dialogue and creating enemies. So I do have hope with some of the things he's doing, and with human rights, with as a gay man in particular, I am encouraged. I don't feel that my rights are nearly as threatened, and maybe things are going to get better. Just like for the Easter egg hunt at the White House, they made a special point to invite same-sex couples with children to participate. Just sometimes it's just the little things that encourage me.
Okay, I have two follow-up questions to both of you then on what you just said. First of all, you both mentioned Iraq, that you know, you're disappointed that he's not taking troops out fast enough. What about sending more troops to Afghanistan?
Well, I don't believe in that either. But, you know, I was disappointed in the Canadian government's involvement with that, and real proud that they took that stand against Bush during the Iraq War, but you know, it's not going to solve the problem. You know, having more troops there is just not going to be the solution.
Okay, Zeke.
Okay, it's almost, I don't know really how to answer this because I have been such a devout pacifist my entire life. So any war to me never is wrong. So sending troops in anywhere, fighting, killing each other, I don't understand at all. So I'm not for having troops anywhere. I'm not for having troops. I'm not for having wars and arms. So all beyond me even to think about that.
Then I have one other question, because I know that we all care about the environment. What do you think about Obama's position on such things as clean coal or nuclear power?
Well, we all know that there is no such thing as clean coal, and you know, they'll never address what to do with the nuclear waste ever. You know, I never hear that in any of these you know, things, and so it's pretty bogus. You know, his ethanol stance is bogus. So there's a lot of things that Obama needs work on. You know, but it's hard because, you know, you want to sort of be optimistic and sort of, you know, it's been, you know, having 8 years of Bush, I mean, this is like coming out of a bad nightmare, and he is sort of, you know, this almost this dream, this good dream that we're finally you know, having, but he has some serious issues to deal with, and so his policies, I like the man. And I think he's a great leader, and it's so wonderful to hear someone eloquent for a change actually speaking on issues.
Did you know he took 12 teleprompters with him to Europe?
Good for him. Good for him.
So he can read. He's a good reader.
He's a good reader. Well, he's got something going for him. You know, I mean, there, you know, Obama mania is happening for a reason, you know, and I can't say it's all because of this anti-Bush stuff for so long. He's got some magical gift, you know, and but his policies need some work.
Yeah. Excellent. Zeke, I'm going to ask you a different question. Okay, so we like, I'm going to say we like Obama for some things. We don't like Obama for other things. What do you think that we should be doing as just, you know, average citizens of this country?
That is a difficult question for me to answer. Okay. As if I can't quite remember the title, but yes, we should all read Cindy's book,
Myth America.
Miss America.
10 greatest Miss of the robber class.
10 greatest Miss of the robber class.
A case for revolution.
And a case for revolution. And let me add a little bit more to that. I've already heard chapter 11. You need to read it, too.
Thank you, guys. Love you. Come here, John. Group hug, group hug, group hug. Yay.
Hi, my name is Pam. I live in the Tenderloin District of San Francisco, and I have been a supporter of Cindy's since she announced she was going to run for Congress against Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi. I worked tirelessly on her campaign because I believe in Cindy, and I believe in the cause of peace and justice that she stands for. If you are listening to this show, then more than likely you support Cindy too. Please consider making a donation to keep Cindy Sheehan's soapbox airing on the web. It is important for me to be able to continue to hear the truth. In a world where truth and courage are in such short supply, Cindy fills that void. Please go to www.cindysheehansoapbox.com and click on the donate link. That's www.cindysheehansoapbox.com.
You said Rachel Maddow has a thing called Talk Me Down, and I don't watch TV. I like Rachel, you know, I've met her, and I think she's very intelligent, but what do you think?
She's kind of the political Katie Lang for straight babes now.
Rachel's gay, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So anyway, tell me, what's her stance on Afghanistan? What do you mean that she needs to be talked down about?
She just has a section, you know, where she is up at night, you know, pondering, you know, the... you know, what all this means, and when you're talking about, you know, lives and treasure going into another war that seems like, how did that work out for us the last time in Russia, that, you know, what's the solution? You know, we know wage peace, not war, and that's pretty much what I center in that. Here's this one man, Greg Mortensen, who's gone there who... you know, failed climbing K2, but, you know, his detour took him to this other thing of building, you know, of being an honorable man and building schools for young girls and children in Afghanistan. He's able to luckily have this dialect and have this amazing sense of bravery that he's won the trust of the different heads of the different tribal areas of Afghanistan, of Pakistan, actually, and now into Afghanistan. And he's even had... you know, fatwas on him where you should read the book. I mean, it's so extraordinary, you know, that he had the people in Iran say he's not walking an honorable man, you know, walking an honorable walk, and, you know, let him keep doing his work. And, you know, just think of what he's done with nothing. I mean, you throw money at a thing, and here's this man who's taken $12,000 and, you know, raised up people where, you know, they... what is it called? The shock and awe for us, you know, the hearts and minds, who literally has won hearts and minds.
So did you vote for Obama? Okay. So I'm not judging. I'm not a Judy judger. So Obama is increasing troops to Afghanistan. He calls that the good war. And like you said about Russia, but for centuries... people have tried to subdue Afghanistan. Alexander the Great tried to do it, and he finally realized that it was not possible, so he withdrew his troops. Most recently, it was the Soviet Union and their decade-long invasion and you know, military misadventure in Afghanistan is what caused the Soviet Union actually to collapse. I don't understand... why the United States thinks they can do something in Afghanistan with 60,000 troops that the Soviet Union couldn't do with 500,000 troops and freaking Alexander the Great couldn't do. What do you think? Why do you think we're doing it? What do you think our strategy is?
To D.C., I mean, what are all the memorials? They're about war. You know, how did we get here? We didn't come to this land and ask the Native Americans, hey, you know, how do you live on this part of the world? What do you eat? What do you believe in? What do you wear? What do you sing? You know, we come in and we conquer. You know, it's not just us. It's just been the way of
the European. What's, you know, everybody is, hello, motorcycles. So, you know, it's just been our way for so long. You know, what would this planet be like if through the years we had of, you know, gone to our different villages and shared our different customs and picked and choose what we liked instead of enforcing like and kind on people.
But what I'm saying is, of course, in Vietnam, we were not successful. And we're not successful in Iraq. The first Gulf War, people can say, oh, well, we were successful. We achieved the goal and then left. My question is, I know we're a warlike people. I know we have been since we've begun. But many people credit Obama with being a change agent or being someone we can hope in or being smart. And if he was smart, he would look at history and realize that nothing good's going to happen. My friend Ray McGovern says a bloodbath will happen in Afghanistan when we send more troops. I know I can't have you speak for Obama, but I'm just trying to struggle.
Same birthday, though.
Okay, so maybe you can.
Yeah, I might can. Let me channel little brother right now for you. I think that it is our job to hold his feet to the fire on things that we don't agree on. I think that when you come in after 8 years of just, you know, all of our civil liberties around the world, you know, destroyed, that I think that I see that he's kind of working in a million different directions, you know, trying to orchestrate, you know, trying to put smarter people in play. But it's our job, and I blame the press for getting us into Iraq more than I, you know, blame Bush. You know, where were we screaming about wiretaps and all the other things? It's our job to, you know, send books to Rachel Maddow, send, you know, people in front of him like Greg Mortensen to say, no, we want to go in there. I'd rather send $200 of my tax money to build a school than to carpet bomb the place. You know, that's where we all need to speak out. I mean, that's what we're saying. No more head nodding, you know, just say no.
So you think our effort should be, would be best used focusing on the press?
I think it's all of us, you know, focusing on another way to raise, you know, to, I think he's a breath of fresh air, at least going around the world, not saying that Father knows best, that, you know, we're open to a dialogue with people. You know, maybe I'm naive, but at least that's better rhetoric than the last, you know, 20 years.
What's your name?
Charlotte.
And you live in Eureka Springs?
Yeah.
And we can use your interview for our show.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
No, I am bi-townal, though.
She's bi-townal. Where do you live?
I live Eureka and in Rogers, Arkansas.
Wow, the big city.
Yeah.
Power to the sisters.
Power to the sisters.
Right on. Okay, we're in Eureka Springs. And what's your name? And where are you from?
Nancy Morgan from Bentonville, Arkansas.
Okay, right on. So, good. We've been talking to a lot of people from Eureka, so it's good to talk to somebody from outside the town. Did you vote for president? And if you did, who'd you vote for?
I did. I voted for Obama.
Okay, it's been 100 days now, and are you a Democrat?
I'm neither.
Independent or declined to stay? Okay, right on. Did you leave a party?
No,
you've always? Well, good for you, sister. And so,
like who I feels the best.
That's good. So it's been 100 days now. How do you think Obama's doing?
I think he's doing okay. I think if anybody has a challenge, of course, in that role, but the change and just the newness and the difference, I think he's doing good.
How did you feel about George Bush?
I enjoyed David Letterman all the time about George Bush.
Did you ever hear about the mom who camped out in front of his ranch? That's me.
No way.
And, of course, I hated the wars under George Bush, and I don't like them under Barack Obama either. How do you think he's doing in foreign policy?
I don't get into all that. Sorry.
Okay. Okay, well, thank you. Can we use this on the show?
Of course.
Okay, so we're here in Eureka Springs again, still with the motorcycles. And can you tell us your name and where you're from?
My name is Ben. I'm from Austin, Texas.
Oh, great. I've spent a lot of time in Austin, Texas. So, did you vote for president?
No, I did not. Did I vote for president? Yes.
And who'd you vote for?
I voted for McCain.
What was your opinion on George Bush?
On George Bush, I think he did a decent job. I think he got caught up in some things that he had no control over at the end. So.
Do you still live in Austin? Or are you just visiting here?
I still live in Austin.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. So you didn't vote for Obama. You voted for McCain. And so you were initially not a supporter of Obama. How do you think he's done in the first 100 days?
I think he's done a really scary job.
Can you be more specific?
Yeah, I think that the spending program that Congress and the Democratic administration is doing is going to put us in debt that we're never going to get out of. I probably won't live long enough to see the results, but my children sure will. And inflation is going to take off, and it's going to be just like the Jimmy Carter years, 15-16% inflation. And just give it about 2011, and you'll see it happen.
How do you think he's doing in foreign policy?
Even worse, because he's apologizing for everything the United States has ever done, and I don't agree with that, and I think it's a wrong approach to take. And I think he's just really inviting some problems for our country in national defense, particularly since he's going to cut the budgets on the very things that we need.
Did you know, actually?
Those kind of things to at least protect us from rogue states that have nuclear weapons.
So you realize he is increasing defense spending, just he's not spending it on what you want him to spend it on?
He's, as far as I know, he's not increasing defense spending. You tell me.
Yes,
where,
he is.
Where is he increasing?
He's increasing it by about $15 billion this year. But you're right. He is cutting some programs and expanding other programs. How about his slow withdrawal from Afghanistan and sending more troops to, I mean, from Iraq and sending more troops to Afghanistan? Do you agree with him on that?
Well, I'm glad to see that he has slowed down the withdrawal, because I think it's important that we win in Iraq and have some stability there. And I think that Afghanistan is a mixed bag for me. I can see it as a situation we need to fight in, but historically no one has ever won over there. And so that's kind of scary.
Can you tell me what victory in Iraq will look like?
I hope that it's a stable government that has a choice of defining their own destiny. It may or may not always coincide with us, but at least I hope they have that choice, and I hope Iran stays out of their business.
Thank you for talking so much to me about these issues. You said you don't like Obama's spending plan, and I'm going to give you one chance to pretend you're president and tell my listeners and my viewers what you would do differently. And don't assume that I'm sitting here not agreeing with you.
Okay. Well, first of all, I don't have all the facts, so it's very hard for me to sit in his shoes and make judgments. But I would not. I think we had to stabilize the financial system. I don't think that is a problem, except that the things that he said he was going to do have never occurred. And that's accountability for the money. Where did it go? There's too much waffling in Congress. Did I know about the bonuses? Did I not know about the bonuses? That's ridiculous. I mean, and rushing bills through without having anybody, giving anybody a chance to read them, that is the epitome of government waste as far as I'm concerned.
And what about rushing the Patriot Act through in one day without letting Congress people read it and then pushing them to vote for it under the Bush administration?
Well, I can't comment on that. History is history, and that act was passed right after 9/11, and the circumstances are different. And the same thing applies to waterboarding. That was under a different set of circumstances than we have today.
So Obama and the Democratic leadership are making a concerted effort to not holding anybody accountable for torture. Do you agree with that? Because they say we have to look forward.
Yes, I agree with that.
Okay.
I think that's a big mistake to go backwards and try to change what's happened.
Okay. Thank you for talking to me. I really appreciate it. Thanks for giving us that. Cindy Sheehan, soapbox.com.
Well, that's the end of the show. And I would also like to thank you for listening, as always, and my engineer, Scott Petty, and my webmaster, Rich Bowser. Don't forget to email me your questions or listener rants to Cindy at cindysheehansoapbox.com. If you don't like what's happening in our world, what are you waiting for? Get off your ass and start a revolution. Bye. We'll talk to you next week.
I must make my witness. I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. Dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street. There's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes. As if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value.
They're yelling in Baton Rouge.